dismissed to Camp Sunrise. There's plenty of extra crafts down there, so it's a fun time. Oh, Lord bless all those down there. All these kids going down there, I guarantee you, blesses the Lord. Amen. It says you train up a child in the way he should go and they shall not depart. They might take a detour, but I believe that when kids hear the word of God, they might not fully understand it, but his word does not return void. It's living and active, and wherever they are in their life, whatever trial they're going through, I know that in my life, the Lord brought to my mind all the scriptures I was forced to memorize, and it blessed me, and it gave me a sense of peace when I didn't feel like there was any peace to be had. And so don't underestimate, and pray for not only the kids, but those that are putting it upon their heart to teach and to lead them, amen? It's a calling. And speaking of calling, I felt led to do this morning. And I would like you guys to participate with me. And so I'm going to ask, yes, Ricky and Mike to come up here, as well as Justin and Uriah. And anyone else in law enforcement, firefighting, EMT, if you're a nurse, if you are in those people's lives at that moment of hardship, I want you to come up here so we can pray over you. Would you stand with me as we pray over these gentlemen? Thank you, Scott, also, who graduated and is the Cal Fire representative in law enforcement. And thank you, Danny. That includes you, little mama. Get up here. I can tell you that the people standing up here, which they probably don't like to be called up, because I know I don't, but they need your prayer. It was 5 years ago when I started doing chaplaincy work, and I didn't know at all where I would fit in there. I didn't feel like the Lord would use me at all, because I didn't know. I didn't understand what they go through. And so when you're trying, and then I came in with that idea that if I could fix things or do whatever, and the Lord's like, no. You work alongside with them, get to know them, so that they can get to know you. And from that, I've learned so much from these gentlemen in front of me, everyone here. And I can tell you, it's not about the money. They're doing this job because they want to serve. It says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down their life for a brother. And the professions that they have chose, when they leave their house, that is something that is a reality. And they need our prayer, because I believe that they're doing, and they need the power of the Holy Spirit inside of them to encourage them, strengthen them, and give them the fortitude that they need to see their job through. Amen? Would you just extend your hands towards them as we pray for them and pray God's blessing and protection and provision over them? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for those that are standing right here before me, Lord. I thank you for the call upon their life to serve. And Lord, they do serve, and they're serving you right now. I pray for protection over them, over their families, over their mind, that you would guard their heart, Lord, and the things that they see in this world, so that a lot of us don't have to see it. I pray that, Father God, you would just erase the things that are negative, and that you would implant in them that joy of their salvation, that you would bless and protect them, cover them. Lord, I ask that they would reach out to you, and that you would give them the wisdom and discernment that they need every single day in what you put before them. I thank you that they have stepped up to the call, and I ask that you would bless them, bless the work of their hands, bless their wives, Lord, bless their husbands. Lord, I ask that you would just move upon them and encourage them and strengthen them in what they do, and that they would keep you before them, that they would fix their eyes upon you, Jesus, and that you would bless them for it. So, Lord, we stand together as a congregation, and we ask that you would cover them, protect them, and we stand beside them to encourage them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Thank you, guys. Thank you, brother. It's good to be back. I appreciate those who filled in as me and my wife were able to celebrate our 28-year wedding anniversary. Amen. If you want tips on how to deal with an unruly husband, how to walk in patience and grace and mercy, I'm sure you could talk to my wife because she's gone through all of those things. But I can tell you we're married today because of Jesus. And you know, when you live for something higher than yourself, it puts a lot of things in the right perspective. And you know, anything that's worth anything takes a lot of work and effort and communication. And you know what? We're at a place now that it's by God's grace and mercy, we are very happy and blessed. And so we're blessed to be a part of this congregation and be a part of this church family. So thank you for allowing us to enjoy that time away. So as we get into the message today, I'm going to just, Lord, I ask that you would bless this message. You would guard my lips. You would help me articulate what you would have me say. And I just ask that you would bless this time, that we would be encouraged and uplifted by it. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. So when Jesus was talking to his disciples, you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. And this is something that we've all heard. There's all kinds of messages on it. But I don't know about you, but in my life, when I feel like I'm in a position to do something or lead, I feel like a lot of the times I try to fix things. Anybody fixers in here? If your wife tells you a problem or vice versa, you almost feel like it's your duty now. You're telling me that because I am to fix it. Sometimes the great revelation I've received is I can't fix people. I can be a light for people and I can point them to Jesus, but I can't personally fix it. And a lot of the times I'm not called to fix it. And so when we live in a world that is broken, and that is the world that we live in. We live in a world right now where the powers to be, whatever you want to call it, they want you to bear false witness, say there's more than two genders. And they want you to accept that. And if you don't accept it, then you know what? You're a hater. All these things are in the Word of God. These things are present in the world that we live in. We do not battle against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness, right? The enemy is out to destroy, kill, and destroy, steal, kill, and destroy. And we live in a society where we see all these kids go down there. And so we have a responsibility as Christians to live in a different way, amen? And there's two things that we need to do that. One, recognize that we live in a fallen world and not take everything personally, because we live in a world that is a part, God is reaching down to restore the relationship with humanity that has been broken, and we as Christians are to be a conduit of that light and to represent Christ. Amen? We're called to do that. So when we look like the world, it's hard to do that. It's hard for people to take us seriously if we are more of the world and there's not something distinctly different. Now here's the catch. You can't change yourself, but you can allow the Holy Spirit to work in you to give you the power to change. And what I mean by that is we have a responsibility, and a lot of the times we miss out on the joy of the Lord and the blessings of the Lord because we have either a one foot in or a one foot out, or we haven't made a decision ultimately. And I believe we're coming to a day where that's going to happen. There's going to be so many people professing Christ. Whether they know them, I don't know. It says you know them by their fruit. And so as Christians, we are called to be the salt of the earth. And so we're going to get into that, and Jesus is talking to his disciples. Now, I love this group that we have here because they are upset to hear that Jesus is going to leave. They are in a place where they're still looking at the natural, and they can't see the big picture. They're even selfish amongst themselves. It fits like humanity, doesn't it? In a way, everybody is out for themselves in some way or another. It takes Christ to change those patterns in our life. It takes Christ to show love and forgiveness and mercy. But in doing those things, in experiencing those things, we experience God in a new way because we're submitting to him. And so when I look at this scripture and we look at it, think about it. Here's a bunch of guys just like you and me. And Jesus sits them down. He goes up. The multitudes are coming. There's tons of people that wanted to follow Jesus because maybe they'll get fed. Maybe they'll have these things. It was a fad at the time in a way to follow Jesus. But Jesus took those that were close and took them to a place to teach them. Not everything he said people could receive. And so he talks to the disciples here in Matthew chapter 5. It says, now when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down his disciples. And they came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. He's trying to prepare the disciples for what's coming, and he's giving them the attitudes that they're supposed to have in this world. He's explaining to them how they are supposed to live, okay? And then this is it. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on the stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Now, this is important to think about. Think about what he's giving. He's giving them analogies that they can understand. One, there's a time that salt was worth more than gold. In fact, some Roman soldiers and citizens would be paid in salt because it would preserve. We didn't have refrigeration back then, so it would preserve things. It would preserve and keep decay at bay. So when he says that we are to be the salt of the earth, we have a responsibility to preserve the morality and the things, and it starts within our heart. When we become the message of Jesus Christ, preaching is very important, but in the timing that God has set forth. How many of you know you might have all the right answers, but you're not listening to the Spirit when you're quoting Scripture? Right? Would you agree? What do you think this world needs? What do you think the person needs that was raised in a false Christian home, someone who claimed to be Christian but used the Scriptures to manipulate them or whatever it is and broke promises and did bad things? How do you speak to that person? By your actions. How do you deal with someone who is confrontational? Have you ever met someone that when you tell them you're a Christian, they tell you why they're not? And then you're like, well, should I tell them this and that? I would say pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give you what to say, because sometimes you're not supposed to say anything in that moment unless God puts it on your heart to do so. You're supposed to live as a light in the darkness. We live in a world where words are cheap. Words are cheap. People can say, oh yeah, this and that. We live in a society that is so surface now with all the social media and the apps and everything that our kids don't even know how to have a one-on-one conversation with each other without a phone involved. We live in a society that I believe is going to turn to where people are going to hunger, and they hunger now for it, for true meaningful relationships. One-on-one, eye contact, talking, friendship. And as Christians, we have an opportunity to be a light. And I believe it starts with the ministry of presence, being there, meeting a need. During the 9/11 attacks, when I was going through the chaplaincy training, they told a story, and it really stuck with me. During the 9/11 attacks, big mega churches, doesn't matter the name, big mega churches were sending semis with food and water and all these things over there to New York and they were stopped. And they said, well, we're with so-and-so, don't you know? And we want to give all this stuff. And they said, you need to turn around and go the other way. And you go, well, why would they want to do that? They said, we need people on the ground. We need people looking for bodies. We need people walking the streets. We need service, not just goods. Does that make sense? Now, the church, maybe they meant, well, I'm not judging them. But it's easier to do something like that and say, hey, I did my good deed. Maybe God's asking for more. To be the difference. When people complain about church, oh, I don't get what I want. I don't like the music. That tells me you don't even have an attitude of worship. If you complain about things more than you look at the good things, you're in a bad place and you're poisoning yourself. That's the facts. It's very hard to get up here and lead worship. I would say it's just as hard as to get up there and lead worship than it is for me to get up here and preach, especially if you had a tough morning, right? Think about that. We are all here as the body of Christ to encourage each other daily. And you know what? God inhabits the praises of his people. It doesn't matter if you're in tune or not. It doesn't matter if you're loud or not. If your heart is to encounter God, he shows up because he's faithful to his word and he watches over it. And he loves you enough that he'll give you that. But if we're not in a place to receive, it's easier to just pick things apart. Why do people pick things apart? People pick things apart because they don't understand the grace and mercy of God, and they can't give it to anyone else because it's foreign to them. But when you realize that you have been saved by grace, and it's not because you're a great person, it's because God loves you in spite of yourself, and he sent his only begotten son to die for you, to restore you into a right relationship and give you true joy and peace, guess what? When you understand that you do not deserve it at all, it's easier to give love and mercy, amen? He's trying to encourage them. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's not like a false. Being poor in spirit is making an honest appraisal of oneself, your weaknesses and your strengths. It's not saying, oh, I'm just a horrible guy. You have talents. It's being honest about who you are, but not having to do it in pride and let everyone know who you are. Poor in spirit is taking a backseat and letting someone else get the credit, even though you know you did the work, because you did it unto God. Amen? When we do things unto God, that means we trust him to sort it out. He can move positions, move people, and change hearts. We can't. Our responsibility is to be true to his word and fill ourselves with his word as much as we can so that when we get pressed, it's his word that comes out. Amen? And so when we look at this and I see, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed, in its actual meaning, is joy. There's a joy that comes that only God can give. It's a joy that knows that your circumstances may not change, but you're okay with it because God's on the throne and he's in control. True Christian joy is not based on circumstances. It's not based on bank accounts. It's not based on you getting what you want. It's based on you knowing that God is in control and he's on the throne. True joy cannot be taken from you. But we have to put ourselves in a position to receive that kind of a joy. Amen? The joy of the Lord is your strength, as it says in Nehemiah, right? So guess what? If you don't have joy, do you have strength? Not necessarily, no. The joy of the Lord gives you strength. How many of you think we need strength in this world? And I'm not talking the physical strength. I'm talking the mental, right? We lose it here. We lose it everywhere. Would you agree? You have a wrong concept in here about who you are. What does that do? It takes time from you that God's given you. It destroys you. You listen to a lie, and the devil's winning in your life. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord, it says in the word, won't be taken from you. It says that also. Let's just go to a few spots here. So first, if we go over to, let me get get there. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. This is the mindset, one, that we have to have in order to experience joy and walk and do these things that we're supposed to do. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, Romans 12, 1, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the same measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, who are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. So when we look at that, and that's a different sermon in itself, the gifts, but think about it. The pattern of this world is not to be what's on our mind or our heart. It's to be the Word of God. The closer you get in knowing what the Word says about you and who Jesus is and what the Bible says, those things stay within you and it gives you the right perspective in the world that we live in. Because as Christians, we need to know the Word, not only for yourself, but for those around you. We need to be the salt of the earth. We need to bring a preservation, if you will, to preserve those things that are right. That means we fight for the right things, but we don't stand in the street like a pugilist as much, but you do your responsible thing. And I'm going to say something that might make a lot of you mad. I hope it doesn't. You should vote for anything, the person that does not support this LGBTQ, transgender, sex change stuff for kids. Because if you do, you're standing in alliance with it. I don't care what you think. Because you know what? We got two people and they're not perfect. But as a Christian, you have a responsibility to vote to what the closest of the lesser of two evils is. Is that fair enough? Is that fair enough? We're still supposed to show love to people that are lost. They're lost. But we don't need that in our schools, and the teachers don't need to deal with it either. We need to pray and do the right thing to stay that off as much as we possibly can. Does that make sense? You coming to church next week? I don't like to talk about politics because I don't think it has a lot, but it is a responsibility as Christians. We have to make decisions and help protect those who can't protect themselves. But that doesn't mean you make that your battering ram, because you're to be a light of Christ more than beating people down. And you can't beat people down. Best way to have a perspective, when someone comes to you and they're really obstinate towards the Lord and the Bible and church, I always go, who hurt them? Who hurt them, Lord? How can I be different so they can see your love? Because they didn't see that. When people are lost, they make bad decisions. And all sin is the same in the eyes of God. If you're an adulterer, same as the LGBTQ stuff. If you're living in sin, sin is sin. We're not going to pigeonhole one over the other. The truth is that we recognize we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Then you can be a light. Because can you change people? But the Holy Spirit can. And maybe you're to be that person to show love when no one else does. Because I guarantee you that will move mountains more than your words. You can show love and speak truth and love in the right time, but you need the Holy Spirit, amen? Because you're dealing with a world of lies over people's lives, and they need to see that someone cares. Would you agree with me? So I'm speaking, because a lot of times when we're in a place, well, I have a responsibility, I got to tell them this and this, and they're going to go to hell, and they're going to go like this and that. Well, you don't know their background, so ask God to give you wisdom and discernment so that you can be a light. And maybe you're just supposed to mow the lawn. Maybe you're supposed to go help. And when they finally go, why are you helping me? There's your door. You say, because God put you on my heart. That does more than your mouth to meet the need. Amen? I don't care. You can have all kinds of shows and smoke and lasers and everything, and people can sing. But the things that make the difference is when Christ, you submit to him and you become a vessel unto honor and you put your will down and you say, Lord, I want to serve you. And I don't care if I'm in the front. I don't care if I'm in the back. I want to be used by you so that they see the fruit of you in my life. And when you do that, God moves. Why? Because you're not in the way. And I'm saying that to you because I'm preaching to myself. That's the hardest part of being a pastor, is God works on me and I have to humbly get up here when I know I'm not great. I might have had a bad morning and yelled at my family. Can you believe a pastor would do that? Thank you. It doesn't make it easy. And I have to go, God, why? It's bigger than you. Repent. Let's get on with it. Ask forgiveness. Let's move on with it. Everyone here has a gift that God has given you, has placed you in a unique position in your life that no one else is meant to fill. You are meant to fill it. And you cannot do it without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to live the fullness of life that Jesus says, I've come to give them life and give it in abundance and to the full. That's not talking about monetary. That's talking about you knowing him intimately in a way that holds you, sustains you, and shows the light, and you are salt in the earth because you're making a difference, because you're a representation of truth, because you've accepted that truth in your life. It's not based on whether people like it or not or any of these things. You say, God, who do you have for me today? You might have one person in your life. You're looking for 10, but God's like, it's your neighbor. It's that one person. And you reach out and you watch what God can do with those little things because you're faithful in the little. God blesses those things. His disciples were so blind. It encourages me because they walked with Jesus and they still didn't get it. They were so grieving. They were grieving like, oh God, when you leave, what's going to happen? And they're not getting the picture that he had to go to the cross for them so that the Holy Spirit could be given to them. They couldn't see it because they just saw what was in front of them. They couldn't see the big picture. It says here in John chapter 16, verse 5, now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and unrighteousness and judgment in regard to sin, righteousness and judgment in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. So he says that it's the Holy Spirit that convicts people. Not us, but we can be used as a vessel that the Holy Spirit will use and bring conviction. Sometimes you just show up and they know you're a Christian and the presence of God in your life irritates them. And they don't even know why. Don't take it personal. God's working on them. If you meet that one person that's always just saying things to, you know they're trying to make you mad. Don't take offense. God's working on them. Ask how you can be a light. Jesus also said in verse 22, 16, 22, so with you now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice and no one will take away your joy. That's what he's saying to the disciples. Yeah, you're going to grieve right now, but when I come back, I'm going to give you a joy that no one can take away from you. How many of you know we need that kind of joy? It's contagious. I can recognize, have you ever met someone that's a Christian and somehow you have this, like time stands still and you can hang out for a long time, right? You have a connection and you don't know, but it's the Holy Spirit. I've met people like that and I feel like I've known them my whole life because of the Holy Spirit. We are in a position as Christians, and I mean this because I want it in my life desperately, Because when we take our eyes off what's important and we just get into the business as usual, we're missing the mark. And guess what? Your joy begins to diminish. If you talk more about the end of the world than you do about knowing Jesus, your joy is diminished. You hear me? You talk about end times more than the joy of the Lord and who you know in Christ. People want to know there's hope. What is the hope that's an anchor to our soul? It is Jesus. If you sound like everyone on TV and all the anger and the news and the media and everything else and you're frustrated, what are they thinking when you walk away? Do they see Jesus? Or do they see bitterness, anger, frustration, and pride? Make a difference. Meet the need. We are called to be the salt of the earth. Vote appropriately. Not only on a public level, in a community level, but wherever you can to represent the right things. Amen? Be the difference that you want to see. People go, well, I don't know about this. When I hear people talk bad about churches, they're probably part of the reason the church is bad. Because that's all they're not even trying to be the change that they want to see. Marriages would do better if you acted the way you wanted your spouse to be.
Nope, she's got to do it first. I'm standing my ground. There's my line. Right? Let's compare what you do, what I do.
How many of you?
Let's make a list.
I can tell you I've learned a lot about the grace of God for the love that my wife's given me and mercy. And you know what? You know how we say a soft answer turns away wrath? When you're out of line or someone's out of line, it doesn't matter if it's your kids, your boss, or whoever else. I'm going to give you a trick. It's not even a trick. It's just truth. Don't respond. Just go, oh, okay. They don't know what to do with that. They might get angrier. But eventually, they'll realize they're wrong. Unless they're a full-blown narcissist, then you might have a different problem on your hands. But for the most part, amen? You hear me? I want you to be encouraged, amen? I want you to understand and know that God knows that we fall short. He knows these things. He tells us how we're supposed to live. And so when we look at the Beatitudes and we look at what Jesus is saying, it contradicts everything in the world. The way the world says we're to be, it turns it upside down and says, no, this is how you're to be. Another one I like in there that stands out is meekness. Does anybody tell me what meekness means in its translation? Going once? Thank you. Yeah. Power under constraint, right? So you could crush someone, and maybe they deserve it, but you choose not to because you know that won't honor God. But they deserve it. They lied. You trust God. You don't have to be right if it's not the right time. Does that make sense? Am I losing you guys? You guys ready to go to the barbecue? I'm blessed. It's an honor to be able to preach the word to you. And do I feel worthy? I absolutely do not. I believe God has given me a gift to preach and teach. And I would be a liar if I said I didn't try to run from it every once in a while. Sometimes more. And all of you have a gift that you're supposed to use. And as the body of Christ, we are called to encourage one another and lift each other up daily, it says. Do you know why it says daily? Because the days are hard. And we all need encouragement. Even the strongest person you think of needs to be encouraged. Did you know that? And when we encourage, we glorify Christ. We look at people the way the Spirit of God does and not the way we see them in the flesh. That will help us navigate all kinds of issues. But I think the greatest calling for the church today is to be the salt of the earth, to bring that preservation, if you will. It adds flavor. We're to be different in the world. We're supposed to add that distinct, different attitude in a situation where everyone's like, whoa, blah, and we can just be at peace and show the joy of the Lord. And that's what attracts people, that and the convicting of the Lord and the Holy Spirit on them. But when we are different, people eventually will ask you, how do you do it? And you say, Jesus. Amen? Think about that. You all have family members. You all have someone that the Lord is working on in your life that you know right now. Make it a job to pray for them. Make it a time to say, hey, God, how can I see that? And you watch God begin to move. Because what happens when you do those things and you see him do it, it builds confidence and strength. Not in your flesh, but you're seeing God work. We all want to see God move, but a lot of us don't do the steps and put ourselves in a position to see God move. We just sit passively and wait. There's an active part where we participate, amen? So I want to encourage you with that. I would like you to write down also, I'll read it and we'll end with this. In Hebrews chapter 12, right? Or sorry, chapter 3, it says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have to come to share in Christ if we hold firmly all till the end the confidence we had at first, as you have just been said. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. When I think about the things that we have in Christ and the freedom that we have and knowing that, hey, God made a way and I can't be good enough, but you know what? I can submit and begin to change my patterns, my attitudes, and my mind. And when we see this, it gives us what we need to bring that hope, amen? But see to it, brothers, that none of you, these are Christians he's talking to. He's not talking to unsaved. He's talking to people that know the Lord. See to it, brothers, that none of you have an unbelieving heart. How many of you deal with unbelief? Just your pastor? There's times I have moments where I wonder, God, what are we doing here? Are we doing it right? Right? See to it that none of you have that unbelieving heart. Why? Because it leads to deceitfulness. Deceitfulness of sin hardens. We live in a world where we're bombarded with this stuff. And if you're not in the Word and encouraging each other when they need it, guess what? You're going to be hardened, and you can sit in here with a smile on your face and act like everything's okay while inside you're decay. We need each other, amen? When you go, nobody checks on me. Anyone ever do that? You're learning a lot about your pastor today. When you're in a place and you're like, nobody cares, whatever. Have you ever thought that? Yeah, you have. Yeah, you have. Be the one. No, there's someone else out there saying the same thing at the same time. Give them a call. Give them a text. Be the change you want to see. Amen? God uses those things. Would you stand with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your precious promises. And so, Lord, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us everything we need. You've given us fullness of life, Lord. I just ask that, Father, for where everyone is at in this room, in their spiritual walk, in their marriage, in their job, Father, we want to glorify you. We want to be that salt for the earth. We want to bring a difference by our actions and our attitudes. Lord, I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would convict everyone here, including myself, Lord, when we are walking in the flesh and we are not walking in the Spirit. Help us be the change we want to see, the differences that we want to see. Lord, help us have your heart. May our hearts not become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Tell us and teach us and encourage us to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ, because, Lord, we need each other. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for everyone that is here. I ask that you would bless this time and keep all the kids safe as we're out here just fellowshipping and joining together. to glorify you, Lord. I thank you for this relationship that we have with you. And I ask that you would bless this day and the food to our bodies and bless the fellowship. May we get to know someone new in a new way. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.